Wow, Greg and team, wasn't that beautiful? And voices singing, you guys, just awesome. I didn't want to come up here. I just wanted to kind of sit and soak it in, eh? Yeah, God's presence is here. God brought you here. Oh, holy night. It's a favorite Christmas carol. I know recently Melania Trump, the First Lady, said it's her favorite Christmas carol. How many would agree with her that's your favorite? Okay, many of us. Yeah, it's just something very rich and warm singing that just now. And as I said, we want to focus on that that one line, the thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. I believe many of us have weary hearts this morning, but God brought you here, and God is going to fill your mind, fill your heart with hope this morning. I really believe that's been my prayer this week, friends. Let me tell you a little bit about the song, Oh Holy Night. It was written in 1843. The church organ was being renovated, and to celebrate the event, the parish priest asked this guy, Placide Capot, why don't we stick his picture up on the screen there, to write a poem. And it was very interesting that the priest asked this fellow because he wasn't religious. In fact, later in life, he said he was an atheist. And he got his buddy, Adolf Adam, to compose the music. And neither of these guys were Christians. In fact, they had a bit of a reputation as being hellraisers in the town. And they wrote this song, composed the music. The church sang it. Some other churches found out about it. They began to sing it. But then the church found out about it and said, we can't sing this song that these hellraisers have written and composed. And they tried to shut it down. But at that point, it had gone viral, whatever viral was like in the 1840s, you know. And they couldn't contain it anymore. And, of course, the song is... Has become quite popular. Another interesting fact about O Holy Night is it's the first song that was ever sung or ever was played, on the radio. And the year was Christmas Eve, 1906. A Canadian, Reginald Fessenden, a 33-year-old university professor, he was the former chief chemist for Thomas Edison. He did something which people thought was impossible. He spoke into a microphone, and for the first time ever, the human voice was carried over the airwaves. And what did he speak? He began to say these words, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. And he began to read Luke chapter 2. And around the world, you know, there was shock as, you know, on ships, you know, radio operators who are used to hearing the Morse code would suddenly hear a man's voice. And newspaper owners, who again were used to receiving the Morse code, heard a man's voice read the Christmas story. And then when he was done reading from Luke chapter 2, he picked up his violin and he played O Holy Night. The first song that was ever played on the radio, and in and music had found a new medium. Oh, holy night, the thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. And I think if there would be two words that would describe our world, would be weary world. There's a lot of weariness. It could be just the everyday grind. As somebody has said, the hard part of daily living is that it's every day. You know, and every day we face new challenges, new stresses, new struggles. And for some of us, this Christmas in particular has been very difficult. Perhaps like Marie, you've suffered loss this year. And that loss has created pain in your soul. We've got many grace pointers with serious health challenges this Christmas season. All kinds of relational challenges and etc. A little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. We all have our own hopes, our own fears. And it's been a privilege as a staff to pray together with you in your hopes and fears. All of our hearts are like the carol we just sang. They're pining. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. We're longing. We're longing for something better. Advent is the season of waiting. Waiting for that thrill of hope amidst weariness. And if there was a character in the Bible who is familiar with weariness, it would be the prophet Jeremiah. I'd invite you to turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3 as we look at some words that he penned. And I believe they will speak to many of our hearts. Like I said, Jeremiah was well acquainted with grief, with weariness, with tears. You see that in his book that bears his name, as well as the book of Lamentations. And Lamentations chapter 3, he begins by again lamenting, talking about... Jeremiah was a little longer than I thought there. It's 50 chapters. Lamentations 3 begins by saying, I'm a man who's seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. Here's a guy who's weary. He goes on to describe, he uses words like darkness. I cannot escape. He compares God to being like a lion or like a bear that's trying to tear him apart. He describes God as throwing arrows at him. A lot of weariness. Verse 19, let's pick it up. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. He says twice there, I remember. I remember my affliction. And it's probably shortly after the year 586 when the Babylonian invaders have invaded Jerusalem. In fact, if you turn back a couple chapters to the first chapter, Lamentations chapter 1 verse 7, he writes, in the days of her affliction and wandering, Jerusalem remembers all the treasures that were hers in days of old. When her people fell into enemy hands, there was no one to help her. Her enemies looked at her and laughed at her destruction. He's referring to that event in 586 BC when the invaders came in and they destroyed the city of Jerusalem and they took the treasures out of their temple and placed them in the Babylonian temples, and they laughed at the Israelites. They laughed and they said, see, our God is victorious. And here Jeremiah finds himself in the exile. So not only is he remembering his own anguish, but as the people of Israel, the people of God, the thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. They were waiting for that new and glorious morn to break in the midst of their slavery and captivity. And repeatedly we see in Scripture that same idea of a new day. That every day God's mercy is new for you and I. For Jeremiah, the circumstances around him were very despairing. The people are in captivity. There's great anguish among the people of God. But, that great anguish doesn't have the last word. That despair that he's feeling in his soul doesn't have the last word. Take a look again at the text. Verse 21. What's the first word you got in verse 21? Why don't you shout it out? Yet. Yeah, some of you have yet. Some of you have this. Some of you have the word but there. In the midst of the despair and the darkness, but the despair and the darkness don't have the last word. Let me read, verse 21. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of God's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Four things I see in this passage. And we're going to experience God's compassions, which are new every day. There's new hope every day with Jesus. First of all, we've got to remember God's love. We've got to remember God's love. Verse 19, he says, I remember my affliction. Then verse 21, he says, I recall or I remember Where is it here? Yet this I call to mind, therefore I have hope because of God's great love. God's great love, we are not consumed. Or some of your translations say, because of Lord's mercies, or because of the steadfast love, the faithful love, God's loyal love. The Hebrew word there is hesed. Everybody say hesed. Hesed, it's used 250 times in the Old Testament, referring to God's covenant love, God's loyal love. The Israelites look at their present circumstances, but they're not overwhelmed by their present circumstances because they know of God's loyal love. You and I may look at our present circumstances or our present state of relationships or the present challenges that we have, but we're not overwhelmed because we know that God's great love, God's all-consuming love doesn't will hold us through, and the despair and darkness don't have the last word in our lives. And then out of his great love, verse 22 says his compassions never fail. Or how many in verse 22 you've got the word mercy? How many have mercy there in your Bible? Some of you have mercy in your Bible. The word his mercies never come to an end, the ESV says. That word mercy means to withhold of just punishment, to have pity or tender love, that God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. And that word mercy or compassion that's used there, it's the Hebrew word rahamim, which is derived from the Hebrew word rahim, which means womb. Think about that. God's mercy, God's compassion coming out of womb. That Israel, God had called them into existence. Back Genesis 12 to Abraham, I will make a great nation. You will lead this nation. God calls Israel to existence. And though they have troubling times, such as here the exile, that they are in captivity in Babylon, but that captivity doesn't have the last word. Because God's steadfast love. Or for you, friends, Rahim, womb, God fearfully and wonderfully created you in your mother's womb. Oh, present circumstances may be challenging, but they don't have the last word because of God's great love, his mercy, his compassion, that he fashioned and he formed you and he knows the days of your life and he will guide and protect and love you for the rest of your life. The next verse, verse 23. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every morning, God's faithfulness is renewed to you. A number of years ago, I read about some Buddhist monks in Tibet who, when they would drink their evening tea, when they'd finish with their evening tea, they would take their tea mug and they would turn it upside down on their night table. They would go to sleep. They'd wake up. They'd look over. I'm still here. They'd turn it over. They'd have their tea for the day. The night would come, they'd have their evening tea, they'd turn it over, go to sleep, wake up, got another day. Friends, you woke up this morning, you've got another day. See, in Scripture, the night foreshadows death. But you didn't die last night. God has a reason for you today. This day is a day of hope. It's another day for you. God's faithfulness, God's mercy, God's love is new every day for you. This day is a new day. God has something for you. You have passed through the night. You have God's faithfulness and God's mercy, counterparts of his love. Moses says some similar words I put in your outline. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Every morning you are renewed. Every morning you have a brand new start. God's love and his mercy for you every day. Every day can be a new day with Jesus. Every day is a new day of his love. Let's keep reading verse 24. I say to myself, therefore the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. To experience a new day of hope with Jesus, trust God for what you do. Trust God for what you need, excuse me. Because every day, Jesus is going to give you what you need. He will. Every day, Jesus will give you what you need. He may not give you what you want, but He's certainly going to give you what you need. And the author here, Jeremiah, uses that word portion. Everybody say portion. Portion. The word refers to God being our provider, our preserver, our sustainer. The word was used in the Psalms, Psalm 73, put in your outline. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Now the word portion, we're not sure exactly what it means. It can refer to the Levites who were dependent upon God and upon other people for their sustenance. And the word can also refer to the Israelites when they were wandering in the wilderness. And as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, every day God would rain down some food. What did they call it? Manna. They said, what is it? Manna. And it's kind of like Frosted Flakes, except without the sugar and the milk, you know. And they would collect that each and every day. And those of you who know the Old Testament story, what was the expiry date on the manna? How long would it last? Just one day, right? If anybody tried to hoard the manna, they'd take their basket and say, I'm going to collect a lot. And I'm going to gather myself a week's supply here. What would happen the next day? The basket they look in, ew, it's all moldy. The stuff would be moldy. They'd have to throw it out. They could only collect for one day. Because God wanted to remind them each and every day He would sustain them. Each and every day He would provide for them. And the same is true for you and I, friends. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Give us today our daily bread. Today He's going to give you what you need. Today He will provide for you. And like Jeremiah, you may not have much in terms of the world's resources. I mean, they kind of lost everything there when the invasion happened. You may not have much, but you have God. And He can be your portion. A new day with Christ is a new day of God providing exactly what you need. He will provide His presence. He will provide His strength. He will provide His power, His goodness. You and I can say, the Lord is my portion. A new day with Christ is a day of hope. Take a look again at the verse 24. The last line. Therefore, I will wait for Him. Take a look in your Bible, verse 21, the last line. Mine says, therefore, I have hope. In the Hebrew, those are the exact same words. Therefore, I will wait for Him. Therefore, I will have hope. To wait upon God is to be a person of hope. So friends, continue to hope. Like Marie, you've got your challenges in life. Perhaps some people have let you down, have disappointed you, have fallen from grace. But look to God as the source of your hope. You've experienced loss. You're perhaps grieving this Christmas season. God is your portion. Keep moving forward. Let's move on to the next verse 25. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. To experience a new day of hope with Jesus, depend on God as you persevere. It's very interesting in the Hebrew. In verse 25, verse 26, and verse 27, the verses all start with the same Hebrew word. And that word is good. Everybody say good. Good. Good is the Lord, verse 25. Verse 26, good to wait quietly. Verse 27, good for a man to bear the yoke. Good, good, good. It's referring to God's character, His nature, that He is good. And here in verse 25, it refers to His will and His timing in our life, that we can trust God. Even in the midst of challenging times, God will rescue. God will deliver. God will come through. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him. Who is good? It's the Lord. So let me ask you, is He the source of your hope? Is God the source of your hope? Because it's easy for us to put our hope in something else, right? It's easy for us to put our hope in, let's say, another person. But what happens when that other person lets us down, disappoints us, doesn't come through for us? It's easy for us to put our hope, let's say, in a paycheck or in a company or in an organization. But what about when the organization lets us down? We sometimes think we can put our hope in an investment, say the stock market or something else. But what again when that fails for us? Sometimes we put our hope in a certain outcome, thinking, hey, this is what I want to see happen by such and such a date. But what if it doesn't happen that way and what we hoped for and dreamed for and prayed for doesn't work out? Where's our hope? Our hope ought to be in the Lord, who is good, as Jeremiah reminds us. His character is good. He is for you. The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. Many of us are tired, discouraged, doubting this Christmas season. But hope shows up. Hope showed up 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. And hope shows up for you this Christmas season too. As somebody has said, we as people, we can live about 40 days or so without food. We can live 8 days or so without water. We can live 4 or 5 minutes without oxygen. But we can only live a few seconds without hope. Hope is indispensable. Hebrews 10:23. Why don't we stick it up on the screen there. Let's read this verse together. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. What do we hold tightly to? We hold tightly to hope. We hold tightly to hope. And friends, some of us, I believe God brought you here this morning because you've got to let go of something else. Because you're holding on to something else besides the hope that's found in Christ. You might be holding on to anxiety. You might be holding on to worry. And you're kind of clinging to that. And this morning, Jesus is saying to you, peel off those fingers, let go, and trust me. I am the source of your hope. Some of us are hanging on to fear this Christmas season. And there's fear within our hearts. And Jesus says today to us, let go of that fear. Put your hope in me. Don't be afraid, my child. Some of us are stressed about things and where our mind is full of these anxious thoughts. And God says, let go of that stress. Hang on to hope. Some of us are trying to control things as we're trying to manage things this Christmas season. And God's saying, let go of the control and hang on to hope because He is faithful. He who promised will keep His promises. Some of us are hanging on to the lies of the enemy in our minds. And we believe those lies. And it's time today to get rid of those lies and to allow the truth of Christ to speak into our mind and let that hope set us free. Friends, what are you hanging on to? That verse tells us to hang on to hope. Hope. Somebody said the word hope, H-O-P-E. Could be considered like an acronym. Hang on. Pray expectantly. Friends, God is going to come through for you. Don't give up. Every day with Jesus is a new day. A new day of hope. Tomorrow, you're going to have another day. A new day of hope is coming for you. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Persevere. Let's keep reading verse 26. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. That's a hard verse, isn't it? Because a lot of us don't like waiting quietly. We want to do something. What do I need to do, Lord? Sit quietly. Wait. Wait for the salvation of the Lord. And today is perhaps your day of salvation. Salvation for your soul. Or the salvation that will drive out the darkness out of your life because you've been clinging to that darkness. Your mind is overwhelmed by that darkness. A new day of hope. See, when Jeremiah is writing these words, the Hebrew mothers would often, you know, when they'd give birth to a son, would look at their son and think, is he the one? Is he the one? Is this the forthcoming Messiah? Is he our Savior? But they'd wait and they wait until God's perfect timing, when Christ came to our earth 2,000 years ago. He left the glory of heaven and came born in a manger, the sinless Savior. And the angel said to Joseph, you will call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He came to set us free, friends. Remember those days when people used to send Christmas cards? You remember like Christmas cards? Like, this is like before Facebook. I know that was like a long time ago. Nowadays, people, you know, wish each other Merry Christmas on Facebook. But back in the old days when there were Christmas cards, somebody put this on a Christmas card. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need was entertainment, God would have sent us a comedian. If our greatest need was political stability, God would have sent us a politician. If our greatest need was health, God would have sent us a doctor. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a Savior. Friends, let His salvation break into your souls, break into your darkness, break into your difficult circumstances. Yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. One day with Jesus makes all the difference. Romans 13, 11 and 12. Why don't we stick it on the screen? Why don't we read this verse together? The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Friends, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The night is nearly over. We are now in the darkest time in the Northern Hemisphere, right? This time of the year. You know, it's coming up to December 21st. You know, the longest night of the year. But, the sun will still shine, right? Even in the midst of our short days now. Even when you get up in the morning and all you see is cloud, all you see is rain, you know that behind those clouds there is the sun, right? And the sun is still there. And we walk by faith even when we don't see it. And let me remind you, friends, that even in the midst of difficult circumstances, even in the midst of challenging times, even in the midst of your own discouragement or despair, the sun, S-O-N, is still there, even when you don't see Him. Because this baby Jesus that came and that was born, came and lived, and for 33 years He walked on this earth, and then He died. He died for your sins and my sins, but He didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave, and today that Jesus is alive. Even when we don't see Him, even when we don't feel Him, even when our circumstances are difficult, even when we're like Jeremiah, we're in the midst of our lamenting, even when we remember our own anguish and our own fears, even when we see our own anxiety and our own struggles, we know that the Son is alive, and the Son will come, and He will deliver us, He will rescue us, He will set us free. Friends, He's going to do that for you this Christmas season. Believe Him, trust Him, hang on to hope. Like Jeremiah, you lament. Like Jeremiah, you have all sorts of challenges in your own circumstances. But like Jeremiah, you can say, but this I call to mind. This I remember. Because of His great love, we are not consumed. Therefore, we have hope, because His mercy, His faithfulness is new every morning. It's new for you, friends. He brought you here this morning. He is a God of hope. Let Him fill your heart with hope. Let's go to prayer. Let's go to prayer. As the worship team comes in front, friends, I believe God brought you here for a word of hope this morning from Jeremiah there. That His written word would speak into your heart, into my heart, into our lives, into our circumstances. The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. Just as eyes are closed and heads are bowed, how many of you this morning, you'd just kind of raise your hand and and look up to me that you want to have an infusion of hope in your life this Advent season. You're feeling a weariness. Yeah, okay, I see that hand. You can relate to Marie. You want God to give you hope. He's going to come through for you in hope. Yes, yes, God's going to bring you hope. He brought you here this morning. He will give you hope. Yes, He's got hope for you. He's got hope for you. Yes, He's going to give you hope. He's going to give you hope this Christmas season. He's got a word of hope. He's hope for you and for you. Yes, yes. He's got hope for you. And hope for you too with what you've been through. Yeah, yeah. He has hope for you. He has hope for you too. And for you. The weary world rejoices. But yonder breaks a new and beautiful morn. Thank you, God. Thank you that your faithfulness, your mercy, your love is new every morning. Today, today you have that for us, Lord Jesus. I thank you for this. Thank you for the hope that you bring. As we walk forward in the days ahead, when we see darkness in the sky, when we feel darkness in our own souls, your light shines through. Thank you, Jesus, that you come. Amen.